welcome everyone to the 21st episode of Is Podcast Ko Kya Naam Do? I am S, and today we have someone who's actually been on this podcast before, someone whose episode you liked a lot, the famous A, Urf Dramibaz.af from India Forums. Hi, A.
Hello, hello. Thank you once again for having me back. So glad to be here, and so glad to jump right back in.
And Happy New Year, everyone. We're a couple of days late, but it's still the beginning of January.
Absolutely. Happy New Year's to everybody. Happy New Year's to Arnav and Kushi in their own little fictional world. You know, we got to keep rooting for them there.
Of course. So before anything, I want to thank people like 7,000 subscribers. I am in awe. Like, seriously, guys, what are you? We are just sitting and chatting about a show that the actors themselves don't discuss that much to this point. The fact that it still has an audience is something that I'm truly, truly grateful for, humbled by, and actually excited that there's this little community. Like, we're operating like a mini cult right now.
No, absolutely. And I think that just goes to say that that is the power of good storytelling. If you invest long enough into the characters where you're not really caring about the ratings and you manage to go past 8 months with some good solid storytelling, you can very successfully launch a cult. It's also just like so amazing how for so many of us this journey started very long ago, and for so few of us we picked up during the pandemic. But like, this show just like keep serving the same form of escapism and comfort and a roller coaster that we've all known, and it just like makes us keep coming back. So I don't know, I think that's just something worthy of appreciation.
Absolutely. And the fact that Star Plus has started releasing actual YouTube videos of scenes and clips, which in my honest opinion I could have edited better, but jokes apart, the fact that they release these things and they still get millions and millions of views kind of tells, I mean, at least at this point, it should tell the channel that this, when a product is still getting millions of viewers at this point, you know, there's something good in it. So learn from it. Like, there's still a freshness to the way romance was served in IPK that is pretty much not found in the shows today. That's the unfortunate situation of ITV. It has kind of regressed since 2012, which is surprising.
Also, just to add on to that, I think IPK was something that a lot of shows, production houses, and even I think the same production house, Four Lions, have tried to reevaluate and replicate multiple times, but it just never had that same charm and magic as this show did, because it was, I think, the storytelling and the concept was coming from an earnest place of passion and dedication, and not just like, oh hey, this is a really great formula, let's reapply it everywhere. So I think like that is something that's so worthy of celebrating, and original storytelling is so rare in the soap opera world.
That is so true. And with this new year, the one resolution that I intend to fulfill is to give more regular episodes to this podcast. So a big sorry to all the people who've been messaging me for a long time that when's the next episode, when's the next episode? Here it is. And for the episode number 21, we are going to be covering four really important episodes. You can watch them on Hotstar. They're season 3, episode 25 to 28. And otherwise, it is episode 98 to 101. We will discuss the whole moment from when Kushi realizes her father has been hospitalized because he had a stroke. So she rushes to the hospital. Arnav learns about it. He also rushes to the hospital and he decides to pay off all the bills. And Akash and Payal begin to develop some angst when they realize that their love story probably might have no direction. And Arnav and Kushi develop this angst upon realizing that, oh my God, there is a love story between them. And the first thing that we will actually talk with the dislikes, because I bet a lot of people are like, F, could you find dislikes even in this track? Yes, I could. I'm very nitpicky that way, probably to an annoying extent. But there were some things that we disliked about the show, but because there were pretty few of them, we are going to be discussing that first. So, A, would you like to go ahead or should I?
More than happy to start with dislikes. There is not much to dislike. We are also earlier in the progression of storytelling, and laying the foundation of the story and the love story. My dislike for these episodes come from, I believe it was character inconsistency with Hushi. So on one hand, we are introduced in the pilot that Hushi is somebody who, she is. She's in college. She's kind of a tomboy. She's a woman of her own. She wears sneakers with lehenga choli. She does things as she wants, and she is very protective of her family. But later on, we see that Hushi kind of tumbles in between whether she is somebody who has never graduated past just high school or regular schooling or hasn't gone to college. So there's like a little bit of a gray area in that into what we assume Hushi's age and Hushi's education to be. Thank God we didn't have a casting of actors who are in very, very different age groups, because that would have been very uncomfortable. And we had Barun and Sanaya, who are basically within the same age range. So my dislike, I just gave a whole bunch of backstory. My dislike comes from Hushi coming to the Rizada mansion to ask for her salary. First of all, there's an implication earlier on in the episodes that she might have opened a bank account, or it's a gray area. It's a what if situation. We can write multiple fan fictions off of that. And then over here, we have Kushi coming in, and she forwards this little tin can that, like, can you put money in it? Now, I want to give Kushi the benefit of doubt over here, and I want to look at the character from a positive light by saying that this is something, maybe because Arnav has literally thrown wads of cash at her at times. This is something that's stemming from that, where she thought that in a moment of need, he wouldn't hesitate to just remind her of her awqaat and of her class and of her status. But in general, I think the fact that you had Kushi in situations like these, and I think, like, as much as we love Hushi being a damsel in distress to an extent, I think at certain point it does get overbearing. It was overbearing in 2011, and it will be overbearing right now as well. Not much has changed, but I think that inconsistency with what Hushi is capable of, Hushi's intellect, and Hushi projecting herself as somebody who is not a match for the man sitting in front of her. When that is far from the truth, both time and time, Arnav and Hushi have proven that they can compete with each other on the same level. I fully understand her understand not being able to focus on the fact that there are, like, tax breaks within, like, checks and stuff like that, because, like, when I got my first check, which was like around 20-ish, I was also like, why is the government taking away the taxes? Like, I'm supposed to pay taxes later, but they're also taking away taxes from my paycheck. So, like, what's going on? So, like, I understand that. That's a very 20s figuring it out on your own kind of vibe. You have to go to your parents for that. So I get that confusion. But her putting down that little bowl in front of Arnav after everything that had happened, I think that was such a degrading aspect. And I think it was so such a humiliating action. This situation, this just putting the platter down, like, what was that? What was the there was no need for that. So that was my one major dislike. I didn't have any other dislike. I think this insinuation of mommy's background and still not revealing that to us was kind of like edging us, and that was not cool. I think Akash and Payal's relationship, it definitely does start developing within these episodes, and we can see that there is more seriousness to it. But I don't I did dislike how it doesn't divulge more into it.
That is true. To be very honest, the salary scene, I pretty much loved it. I could not understand why she would bring a dabba to collect 30,000 in cash. They kind of always want to establish an imbalance between Arnav and Kushi in almost every scene possible. So sometimes it's an imbalance of education, sometimes it's an imbalance of power, sometimes it's an imbalance of age, and thankfully they don't put too much of focus in the last one. But I do think there is a lot of people were a little bit confused as to why she would bring a tiffin. Like, I completely understand her storing some extra cash in a tiffin at home, because that's there in a lot of, like, desi houses. But literally asking someone to pay cash in tiffin, yeah, that anything that distracts you from the storytelling means the intention or the reasoning of it existing wasn't really clear. And all of the other things, the other dislikes majorly that I have is not stemming from this particular, like, these four episodes, but rather I'm speaking from a point of someone who has seen the whole show and then see that everything that has been planted over here goes nowhere. So, like, some of the things I dislike is I, like, after watching the whole show, I cannot stomach the Shyam Shashi scenes because I don't see the point of it. Like, Shashi never gets okay. Shyam just keeps on torturing this really helpless old man for nothing. Like, it just feels like I'm going to waste 5 minutes of my time, where Shyam is very interesting as a character when he does not speak a lot, because he's a very low-key kind of a villain. But the fact that he keeps on, like, monologuing over here, this is the beginning of his crazy monologues where he's, like, going on and on about his plans, and I'm just like, if I just cut this scene, like, a lot of Shyam and Shashi scenes right now, like, if I cut it, it makes no difference to the plot. So it's a lot of excess that's happening. Every Shyam scene is incredibly repetitive, and while I love what Payal and Akash promise over here, I just feel that they started writing this couple in too late. Like, there's a lot of like, we are about 100 episodes in, and I feel I just don't have enough from this couple to invest fully in the beginning of the angst that we're seeing here. And one of my biggest questions is that you have a sequence that parallels Arnav, Khushi, and Akash and not Akash and Shyam, that would be a different story altogether, but Akash and Payal. And I just feel you did not give me, as an audience, enough to work with them. Like, I love them, and there's always that complaint of not enough. And probably when I see the actors and their scenes, there's a part of me that just feels wasted potential, which also applies for the actor who outstandingly played Shashi. And the other thing that I actually agree with you, the whole mommy situation. It's very uncomfortable to see the way Na the only way Nani ever shuts Mami's elitist babble is by being elitist herself and calling out, like, Mami's background of being a servant. And I don't think that ever hits anywhere, because, as you said, there are no explanations. There's no actual history given to us when you know that the writers had it in there. She's a very good villain in this whole Akash Payal scenario. But the fact that she's downright verbally abusive, and that's the way they choose to go through it, and that the insults that Mami starts spewing over here bleeds well into when Khushi and Payal are her family, I think that gets pretty toxic. So a lot of my dislikes with is not particularly to these four episodes, but rather what these four episodes lead to. There's a lot of unresolved writing. And I think my heart pretty much breaks, because whatever the writer team was right now, whoever they consisted of, you can see they wrote in moments and they wrote these scenes with the expectations that perhaps one day we'll get to know what Mami's whole history and the whole issue is. And also that Shashi would recover, because there were constant, like, there's this thing my film professor used to say, that nothing on screen is unintentional. The fact that the doctors say that there might be a miracle, a lot of people recover from these cases. Like, why would you put in scenes like that? Until and unless there is some kind of intake. Like, Kushi is very optimistic that her father will recover. The doctors themselves are optimistic that Shashi will recover. Like, Shyam almost takes this breath of relief when Shashi is dead, not quite dead. He rather becomes as good as, unfortunately, a vegetable over here. Like, there are these things that they have placed with Shashi learning every, like, he is the only person who actually knows the whole degree of Shyam's villainy. It kind of makes you feel that this was a character that they kept aside to release at the right moment. So my heart kind of breaks over the fact that you had really strong foundations built over here, and then you just never went back to it. Which is very funny that they did every crazy thing on the show post the elopement and never brought their trump card out. So
I think these episodes, these four episodes, are kind of beginning of the end of the ensemble cast having their own stories and their own characters. And right now, like, we had a whole episode that was not just compromised of Arnav and Kushi, but we had Anjali, we had Akash, we had Madhumati and Garima have and Payal having multiple scenes. We even had Mami have like a couple of scenes here and there. So the entirety of the show, the foundations that we're laying on, we don't see much of a payoff for that, and we see it crumbling down, which makes it more heartbreaking because you see that the show has been capable of some very good, earnest storytelling.
and coming to earnest storytelling, now it is time for us to simply go gaga over what we loved in these episodes. These four episodes were simply stunning. I will begin with some of the things that I loved technically. The writing. One trend I've noticed of late is that when some characters speak less, they try to ensure that every dialogue that they say is like magnanimous or hard-hitting. So I really appreciate that even though Arnav is a guy who really speaks very less, they kind of give him normal dialogues when he does speak. It's not like every time he's saying something, some gemstones are falling out of his mouth. And to be very honest, I really appreciate that normalcy compared to whatever I'm watching today. And then talking about gemstones falling out of mouth, I love this one dialogue by Shyam, who says, "हमारे दोनों साले हमें चैन से दोबारा घोड़ी नहीं चढ़ने देंगे." It's hilarious. And coming to dialogues, another thing that I really loved was, which is consistent in IPK, is the contrast between how Arnav and Kushi's dialogues are delivered. Arnav's dialogues, especially his monologues, are always more honest and open about his emotions and feelings. And they're often like told, they're the thoughts in his head. They're never quite verbalized. While Kushi's dialogues are always more external, she verbalizes them and it's rarely about her own emotions. Which I think is a treat to watch, especially at the beginning of episode number 98 when Kushi's trying to get Arnav to speak because she's really getting suffocated in the silence. While we see that Kushi is going roundabout of her own emotions by speaking whatever possible to gauge, like, to gauge his emotions, to get a reaction out of him. I don't know if he's just having this real internal battle as to what happened, why does she matter so much, what went wrong with me, and all of that. And I think that contrast is be that's how you get characters to play off each other on screen.
Just to add on to Kushi trying to fill in the silence, I really love that moment in itself because it shows how uncomfortable Kushi is with change. And obviously the entire show and the entirety of the trajectory of Arnav and Kushi is like how they are kind of forced to change for each other, for themselves, and for their love. So I think it's like one of those moments where she's just like so uncomfortable with change. She is used to Arnav being angry at her, and that hurts her. She is hurt every single time he's mean to her, and she's just like, why? But also, she cannot comprehend normalcy with him without him yelling at her. So her glee at getting her shut up is just so genuine, but also just like she is very comfortable with their dynamic and she just kind of wants to keep it that way. And she doesn't want to reflect on what changed.
That is true. And I also like one thing that I truly appreciate over here is that Kushi could have easily been made like very childish for like enjoying the fact that he even yelled at her. But I think the writers delicately balanced it in a way that you understand where she's coming from. as opposed to it appearing as her being, oh, okay, fine, you're finally my angry little person. It never really comes across like that. Which, again, there's in general brilliant writing in these episodes because the motivation of these characters are very clear for the audience. And this is something that the show loses out later on. So the motivations, they need not be revealed to the characters themselves, nor to each other, but the audience really needs to understand what each character is doing and why they're doing it. And I think in these episodes, they did this wonderful thing that Arnav himself does not realize why he reacts or reacted in a certain way. Kushi herself is going through these tumultuous emotions, and nobody's actually pretty much sure how the other character is feeling, but the audience is completely sure as to what's happening. And I think that's what makes good storytelling. So you understand the little things that why Arnav sends Kushi away, why he forcibly is creating literal physical distance between him and Kushi. And we understand, like, as you just said, why Kushi spoke so much to fill the silence. And I also liked the pacing in these four episodes. Usually little things aren't accounted for, especially in television. You just like put a sunrise and you know it's the next day. You kind of like jump over episodes. But over here, the tiniest things are accounted for, like how Kushi understands. It could have been a dialogue that Happy-ji told me father is in the hospital. But rather, we see that scene. We see Arnav going into his room and ruminating. We see Akash and Anjali go back and forth as to what's happening in the hospital. And I think the fact that they slowed down in these episodes, they actually effectively convey the gravity of the event. And the audience themselves realize that, oh, something really big happened, something important happened, because you can see how this one particular event, which is Shashi being hospitalized, has nearly affected every single character in the story.
No, absolutely. And I definitely agree on that. And to build on top of that, I think this is where the show being a soap opera comes in so handy because it really helps pace that slow burn. So I do think that that's like one of the best things that these episodes do. They really linger on and help us focus on the characters' emotions. So one of the things that I noticed and I really like alongside camera direction was Arnav and Khushi having the same color palette, while Arnav and Lavanya also having the same color palette. Arnav is wearing his baby blue sweater. Khushi's wearing a teal, leaning towards bluish, greenish, that kind of like shade. And I think that's so interesting because both of those colors are like colored of like responsibility, individuality, calming, somebody who's like standing their ground. And then in the next scene, when Lavanya is there, we see Arnav being in the magenta, purple, violet shade, and then Lavanya also being in a similar shade. And that is the couple that we need to be seeing, right? That's it's a power. Purple is obviously a royal color. We see it, we are seeing a power couple. But then also, I think it's so interesting how when Arnav kicks Khushi out of the car and he's trying to create that physical distance, in the side view mirror, Arnav sees Khushi until he leaves, while Khushi doesn't see obviously herself. She just sees a car leaving. So for Arnav, as much as he's trying to leave Khushi, she's still there. And I think for Khushi, she does not see herself in Arnav's world still at this point, even though a very big thing has happened after like the whole Nainital thing. So I think like that really stood out for me. And you contrast that with the fact that after the monumental hug, Arnav is not able to comfort Khushi, but he is able to comfort Lavanya by imagining her to be Khushi. So Lavanya, who is in her rightful place, and then he is intentionally giving up the space that Lavanya, his future wife, needs to occupy to Khushi. And in that little scene by the poolside, where he's just kind of like figuring out what went wrong, why he was unable to comfort her, and why. And like his sister Anjali comes in and obviously explains all that to her. Lavanya is standing behind, and Lavanya needs Arnav's support in like whatever she's deciding in planning their wedding, all of that. But Arnav is thinking about supporting Kushi. And I thought that little like the camera movements around that, the placements of character was just so beautiful. And it's just like something that gives validity to how the whole situation plays out in the future. The cherry on top for me is the Tu Hi Bata Mere Maula sequence. I think that is one of the best sequences of the show. I also am a sucker for Tu Hi Bata Mere Maula, so yeah. I would say those are like my absolute likes. I also really like that the last episode we're covering, it ends with Kushi saying no to Sham and Sham being shocked. Because the thing is, Kushi is somebody who very rarely says no to things under family pressure. She would do anything her family wants, even if she dislikes it. And Sham is banking on that, but she says no. And I think that is such a beautiful insight into Kushi's character.
That is true. I love the way they wrote Kushi's arc. Like, after the resignation scene, we finally got to see Kushi as a multifaceted character. Her optimism was like, it was tinged with pain. You know that she's trying to drive family together. And also, this is one very small thing, but I loved Kushi's makeup. I love how it's washed out. I love how the wound is visible on her forehead for. Like, this is when the phase of Wolverine Kushi had not begun. That when she gets injured, we actually see that injury last on her face. So I love how the wound is visible, because that also has like this deeper meaning, right? Like, the emotions are raw. And I think the acting on these episodes was stellar. Like, Saraya is amazing. She's probably one of the best actors I have seen in general, like disregarding TV and film. Like, a lot of this episode was really her crying, but it's beyond that weepy mopey face, really. She makes Kushi endearing all the time. Barun's acting was also so good in the second half of this track. His eyes really speak volumes. He barely says anything, but the empathy spilling off his eyes, him realizing that her anger is a reflection of a lot of their own history, of what he has insinuated multiple times in the past. Like, at no point is he even offended by her anger. He's just standing. And the fact that he gets emotional when when she starts switching tracks in her ramble, that was beautiful to watch. And talking about what's beautiful to watch, I love the way Sham manipulated everything. I love a villain who's not very dramatic or going through grand scheme or like mixing poison. I mean, don't worry, we'll reach there very soon. We'll reach from Sham over here making these amazing intelligent manipulations to like hiring Rocky and then doing 90% of the job himself. But I love the way how he plants in his plans in a way that does not implicate him. Like, at no point will Buaji ever be able to say that, no, Sham is the one who told me to fix the alliance for Kushi and him. Like, Sham always has a trump card with him that I never told you that I want to marry Kushi. You're the one who told me I should marry her for my dead, for your dead brother, almost dead brother.
Just to build on that, I really liked how this is also the beginning of Sham starting to slip up. Because obviously, the whole fiasco with Shashi happens because Sham slipped up. But then also, the doctor sees Sham over there and he's like, "What are you doing here?" And I understand that we didn't get a payoff, but I think that little detail in itself can be very cathartic. The man is like riding a high of being successful and almost killing somebody, but also not killing them and getting away with so much while manipulating by just putting in words in people's mouth. And he's gonna come crashing down from it because he is getting confident, he's getting lazy, and he's getting tired. And his attitude completely agitates Hushi. Him trying to like burn his hand, Hushi's not as much concerned, but agitated and annoyed, and is like, "I don't want to deal with one more problem. That is because of a guest living with us who is somehow considered part of a family when we have such serious things going on." This is the beginning of Sham's downfall.
I love the fact that Sham is so blind. I mean, he is very narcissistic in general. Like, he cannot even imagine that Kushi does not love him back. And I'm just like, bro, did he even actually ever watch her interactions with you?
Not
No, he
just
didn't.
love, not just love, but the fact that he said he thought that a yes, whether she loved him or not, would never be a no. When she says, I can't do this, Shyamji, she's like, hum nahi kar sakte. He is shocked because he's seen Khushi do anything. He's seen Khushi bear insults one after the other, from Arnav Singh Raizada to feed her family, to pay for her dad's medical bills. And now he's like, what do you mean you can't do that? So that no, that I fucking, I, sorry. That no, I love it. I love it so much simply because it throws Shyam off his tracks.
I love that scene. But it's also the first time that Shyam is confronted with the reality that Khushi does not even look at him at any, like, she has literally like not even a percent of attraction for him. Because up until this point, he has intentionally mistaken every single gesture that Khushi has done out of niceness, of her just being a good person, into something romantic. One of the biggest things his plan rested on was that Khushi likes him, and he simply did not expect this to happen. Talking about loving things, one reason why I firmly believe that IPK was so good is because they took a trope that worked and they went a new way about it. And that is this whole, once again, damsel in distress situation. Like, I don't know, paying off all the bills when Khushi is unable to pay it all off. They could have easily made Arnav a hero for this, but they don't. Rather, they use that situation to humanize him, as opposed to like being like, oh, he's your savior, he's done everything. We don't get that narrative.
I absolutely love that, because I didn't touch upon the hug so far, but obviously hug is the crown jewel of these episodes. But Arnav being an anti-hero and a hero, obviously, when Khushi is at her deepest, darkest, she is very, very, like, she's broken down. This girl, she has no idea what's going on. She's trying to keep it together. She's losing it. She sees Arnav. Arnav is standing in middle of the room. He is the knight in shining armor. She runs to him. The camera pans all around. Arnav is the center of her universe. She doesn't see it, or maybe she doesn't see it right now. We see that Arnav is becoming the center of her universe. He already has been when she had the dug duck. And now he actually is. But the thing is, Arnav does not play the part of a knight that Khushi wants her Prince Charming to be. He cannot comfort her. He cannot hug her back. And that is so, so vital to why she chooses Arnav, the authenticity of his emotions, how he just simply cannot fake being who he is around her while also trying to be there for her. And Khushi realizes, with like him unable to hug her back and give her that comfort, when she steps away, when he steps forward and she steps away, she is literally like, no, this did not happen. She wants all of that, that recollection of Arnav is not it, hits her. And when she goes back outside to like, I really think this is also like an amazing camera, not amazing per se, but like a really good cinematography, is when Madhumati is offering a pile to eat food while also they're feeding Shashi. Garima and Madhumati are sitting on one side, Pyle sitting on the other. Khushi is standing outside looking in. She is an outsider in her own family. The only person who always pulled her in was her father. And the only person that she felt the need to find comfort through was Arnav. And then she had to step back away. But I think it also is so interesting how just when Arnav is ready to step forward, Khushi has already been burned by Arnav's words and his actions, or reminders of how he's treated her, that she moves three steps back. And that's like a consistent theme all throughout, obviously. But I think it starts right from over here. I wish we had more flashbacks of this moment, but you can tell that Khushi, it sunk into Khushi that he would not comfort her ever. He's not the person for her, while he is also the center of her universe. Just chef's kiss.
Before I come back to Arnav and Khushi over here, I just want to touch base on the family proposing, like bringing that rishta for Khushi. I love the way that the writers do this without making villains out of Madhumati and Karuma. Like, they are worried that she would not find another suitor. Like, she is conventionally undesirable because she's more outspoken. One thing that I absolutely loved about this scene, in general, is that I understood why Cushy needs Arnav in her life. Like, there's always this moment where you see these two characters together, and I'm like, why should I ship them? And it is the basic fact that Cushy finds a space to be herself in front of Arnav that she does not have with her family. She's trying to boost them, she's trying to be their source of optimism, but with Arnav, she actually gets that room to be the child that she is. Like, you know, she's afraid, she's breaking down, she cannot face this trauma again of losing her parents. He gives her that home unintentionally, but he does give her that home.
No, that is so true. And I think it's like, again, with like my obsession with colors in the show and the use of them, from teal and like blue, which is obvious, which kind of stands for a lot of like calmness, stability, individuality, resilience to an extent. Hoshi is trying to cheer everybody up. She's like, everything would be fine, and she's wearing a yellow outfit the next day. She is trying to be as best as she possibly could be herself. She's trying to be a cheerleader. The only person to see her break down, even in that, is Arnav. And he is the one who comes back and assures her that he's there and it'll be okay. And I think it's also that's why I think the Tu Hi Batai Mere Maula just like hits so hard. It's because it Arnav realizes that despite his need to comfort her and all, something has shifted between the two of them, and it can no longer go back to how it was before. Because Nainital obviously changed something, but Khushi running to him, that solidified it. The fact that they're walking away from each other when they have both understood each other, and they're finally at the same point, because throughout these episodes, they're not on the same point. We're watching them walk towards a similar point, but they're not at the same point until that Tu Hi Bata Mere Maula sequence.
But now it's time to go into a much anticipated point of focus. So a hug is a very normal thing. It's a gesture of support, it's a gesture of love, it's a gesture of just being there, it's a gesture of greeting. But why did it mean so much for these two characters, and why did it change their world?
Well, I think like physical touch is one of the biggest love languages that we deal with throughout this show. It is something that remains kind of consistent even after the shaky second half of the show. Physical touch is something that is very, very important to Arnav and Kushi. We do understand, I think, even with Arnav's relationship with Lavanya, we can tell that he's very comfortable with physical affection in romantic relationships. But Cushy opens the charades of emotional intimacy involved alongside physical intimacy. And the hug, this is the first time things escalate past touches. Cushy welcomes it. I think it's very important to notice that like a lot of their physical interactions and stuff, like there is a deep sense of consent that is offered from Hushi's end, for Arnav to take certain steps. He's not like pushing himself onto her. He's not being very possessive. Even in later onwards track, which are very heated, nothing happens without Hushi having either silently accepting that, yeah, this is okay, or verbalizing that. And Hushi initiating the hug, Hushi initiating the physical support she needs from him, for the physical affection she requires in this time when she's internally, emotionally breaking down. I think that is a huge stepping stone to their relationship, because this is not just like any relationship. This is not like their love explores lust and desire as equally as it does romantic and platonic support that partners need from each other. And I think this is like the beginning of that. And that in itself makes it a very big deal.
Another word I would add over here is intentional. I think one of the reason why this whole hug scene was so like I don't know, earth-shattering for them and the fans and the show is because this is the first time Khushi has actively sought Arnav. And she has actively, like, she's intentionally touched him, which is also reciprocated later in the in next day when Arnav, like, you know, when he just touches her head to offer support, it is intentional. Because up until this point, almost every other touch, as he said, has been accidental, or if he did not hold her, she would fall, or if he did not, like, every time they've touched each other, there is some, like, excuse for it. What begins over here is what I would say you see the accumulation of that on Diwali.
Yeah, exactly. Because this is a silent, consensual, like Khushi is like your stereotypical representation of a Sanskari traditional girl. She doesn't want to touch a person she doesn't know his hands. So for Khushi to be initiating that is such a very big deal. And it's not to say that like it's not okay, but it's like for Khushi, who is very much like abiding by cultural norms and very easily resorts to slut shaming other people. It's quite interesting for her to be doing and taking on this role, rather passively, if I may say so, of initiating physical affection from Arnav, because Arnav does his best to withhold as much as he possibly can, knowing that
I
those
feel he's
are.
also stunned. I think in general, the whole hug episode, it was, I think, so beautiful because up until this point, you did not have a scene as to how and where these characters emotionally connect, apart from the whole moment where he apologized for. It's very, I think it's a nice trend that Arnav and Kushi keep on emotionally reconnecting. Or the fact that their love now, I mean, obviously lust wasn't part of a big part of the equation as to why they're attracted to each other, but the emotional connection, every single time it happens, it's because either one party is reminded of their own parents or of their own, like, or of the trauma that came from their parents' death. And I think this scene is so important because it was very important to establish how emotionally necessary they are to each other as well, and the emotional relief that they do provide to each other. Because up until this point, I don't think there have been several big moments that connect them. Like, in fact, in my notes, one of the places I wrote is that, like, this is where it's evident that at this point Arnav is having an emotional affair with Kushi. Like, he's completely cut off from Lavanya. He feels nothing, he says
Absolutely.
nothing. It's just
Absolutely.
disappeared.
But I think more than Arnav having an emotional affair with Khushi, which is something that is evident from the moment he goes back to Lavanya for the sake of Khushi. He's not going back to Lavanya for Lavanya's own sake, but for to make to prove Khushi something and for the sake of her. To hug Lavanya back instead of Khushi. That is a clear indication that he's no longer interested, physically attracted, or emotionally available to Lavanya in any capacity. But besides that, I think Khushi initiating the hug puts her in a very interesting spot because we are supposed to perceive Khushi as this person who is, very traditional, very nice. But this nice Indian girl goes ahead and hugs her client and her now friend's boyfriend. And fiance, she does that, and I think that makes it so much more interesting. It's not more so Arnav's lust and desire that we see on full display, but also Khushi resorting to those needs while when it combines with her own emotional needs. And I think that's a little bit more fulfilling because we can see Khushi fully leaning into Arnav as a full-fledged relationship. Like she, her expectations from here on forward are of like. If there is going to be a relationship, it will be a whole holistic relationship. It's not going to be dependent on just one thing or the other, which is what she conceives or perceives Lavanya's relationship with Arnav to be, because she's like, if you are so interested in her, why are you not marrying her? And I think like
True.
that contrast is very necessary to draw between how Khushi is kind of leaning into the same gray area that she was so earlier slut shaming and Lavanya with in her earlier interaction with Lavanya. And now she is kind of like in a similar pathway. But the worst situation about the whole thing is that she's the one who initiated the hug. She's the one who resorted to leaning into Arnav, while Arnav was not the one who initiated all of these things. He just reciprocated and led them forward.
True. And ultimately, the hug adds the emotional gravity in this relationship that probably gives it a name of being some sort of a relationship at this point, which is something prior to this hug he could not say whether or not something existed. But with this hug and him reciprocating it in some of the strangest ways possible, it's kind of, I think that's what effectively changed the equation between these two and led the Diwali scene to be very, very believable, as opposed to, oh, this intimacy has suddenly popped on screen. And with that, we come to an end of this episode's discussion. I think we can go on and on and on about the hug scene, about the fact that his eyes close when she cries about her family, and he's just like feeling her pain. He's exercising empathy, which we felt Arnav is not capable of for. But it's also done with the whole narration of, it's not that Kushi's changing him, it's that he was capable of that, and he's a bit surprised at himself for that.
Sorry, it's just like, in general, it's a very beautiful track that I think holds on to the nuances of every character's interaction. And we see a lot of like development between Arnav and Kushi themselves, which is just a treat to watch in general.
When you dig deep into it, you will find out that there are some rather problematic and probably difficult character relationships and characters to explore, but they kept it so simple and they wrote it so delicately that you're somehow able to root for all the characters one way or the other. Like, I'm rooting for Shyam, especially with his one-liners. They're hilarious. My peak comedy is with him. So, it is always a joy to have you over at the podcast. And now you'll be here much more. I'm very happy to have you here.
So glad, always excited to be here. Thank you so much for having me over again. Really, really appreciate it. How also I would just like to add on, Is Podcast Ko Kya Naam Do is available to stream on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Make sure to put it up in the car on a long drive with your husband, fiance, boyfriend, friends, romantic partners, and guilt them, shame them into listening it over and over again, critically consume soap operas, and then turning them into diehard Arnav and Kushi fans.
Thank you so much. And with that, we come to an end of this episode. Our next episode will be my personal favorite, Kushi realizing that she is in love with Arnav Singh Raizada, with all her filmy funniness ensued. I love the way they shift from like melodrama to comedy to romance at the snap of a finger. Seriously. Thank you all for your support. Thank you once again for subscribing to this channel. The very fact that you guys show up to hear whatever we have to say is the biggest form of love. Catch you next week. Probably the same time. I will try that. I will try working on that as my resolution. Bye bye.